Everything is, we're a media-driven culture. We're even beginning to try to find the word of the Lord in the back of this media-driven culture that is put there for, why? Because it's starting to be invaded now by those that are saying, wait a minute, you cannot have those technologies and you cannot have the minds and the hearts of the next generation. There's an invasion of the pure, purity and holiness and the power of God coming to that arena, and we're going to be a part of that, and we're not going to cocoon ourselves away anymore. We're going to step right into those arenas and take them. So, with that invasion comes a powerful and incredible responsibility on our part. Now, that's one of the reasons I think this revolution is starting to happen in the media realm. Guys, let's get to the bottom line here. I don't care who. Every night you turn on television, we turn on television to find out who ain't wearing drawers in Hollywood. I could care less who is not wearing drawers in Hollywood. I know that sounds like a redneck statement, but every now and then I revert back to that. I'm a little classier than most rednecks. Actually, I'm sort of a mauve neck, if you want to know the truth. But nevertheless, look what the media is constantly feeding us as distraction and entertainment, and that's the standards that have been created in the media realm are based upon that kind of poisonous junk. It's a Philistine self-promotion mindset. See, the word Philistine means to roll in the dust or to wallow in self. The Philistine giant has invaded the people of God of a generation, and everything is about self-promotion. Even in the ministry, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, a city that evolves around self-promotion. And furthermore, here we are in a generation where the number one show in the world on that television is what? Number one show in the world is We Need One More American Idol. And I'm not kicking on these young people that are trying to live their dream. It's just that we don't need more idolatry in this nation. And we certainly don't need a bunch more kids being raised up to tell them that that is the pinnacle of purpose for your life. Okay? So, but see, we're a media-driven culture. Well, there's an invasion coming to that. Now, what can change that? A bunch of people walking pure and holy? Yes, but also revelatory encounters where you're looking in there, suddenly on the stage on national television is a 7-foot angel with a flaming sword and the power of God moving. And when somebody sings a song and there's a guy on the third row comes in with one hand and leaves with two, something has changed. That is the invasion of the heavenly realm invading this earthly realm. And you don't have to talk somebody into acknowledging Jesus when something like that happens. And see, the whole atmosphere of heaven, the sound, the lights, the reflection, all of that atmosphere there, what are they doing in that atmosphere? Worship. Yeah. And I've heard people say, boy, when I get to heaven, it's going to be an awesome thing to find 24 elders that consistently worship God. Well, that's true. But look at the atmosphere. It's sound, light, and movement. Everything is moving in the throne room. God sitting on the throne here, the 24 elders on their faces, bowing and worshiping and singing, harpers harping with their harps and angels and all this stuff. And the sounds are just beyond colors that we do not even have the terminology for here. Sounds that we cannot even begin to articulate. Manipulations of tones and inversions and swells and dynamics and crescendos that we don't have the words for in this realm. It's all there. And then you got the movement that's going on. Talk about art. Now there's this incredible anointing in our generation upon the artist to paint. All that is movement that leaves manifestation of the colors and what's going on in that spirit of that person that is painting. God's beginning to use His prophetic painters. You paint a picture and then you stand, and we see it all the time in our gatherings where people, then they get an interpretation and it speaks to something in their life. And that guy, his interpretation of that painting will be different from mine or hers or so on. Because God is uniquely using this prophetic gifting. Even Martin Luther, he disallowed preaching in the pulpit unless there were two artists sitting there depicting what was being spoken, and at the end of the message they would turn them around then and you could get the eye gate to fully engage with what had just been heard through the preaching of the word. Now, and I, God is so creative. Man, I want to show you some of that in just a sec. I really ain't going to have time, But let me, when you think, how creative is our God? You go into that heavenly realm and you see that, whoo, Lordy. You see the beauty of the colors that are imponderable colors. We can't even get our mind around the textures of the lights and the glory of heaven. And then you got these living creatures just worshiping around the throne with faces of lions and eagles and all that stuff. And everybody says, man, I can't wait. When I get to heaven, I want to ask Moses a question. Or I want to ask St. Peter a question. I'll tell you who I want to. I want to talk to David, King David. I'll tell you who I want to talk to. And then some are real religious. When I get there, I want to talk to Jesus. And that's all wonderful and good. But you know who I want to hang out with and talk to? I want to talk to this guy with all the eyes. This guy is covered in eyeballs. He's got eyeballs on the back of his head, under his arms. He's covered in eyeballs. He's got to say, what was God thinking? Look how, see, God is so creative and so far outside of our boxes. God's got an eyeball guy floating around suspended for the purpose of worship in the throne room. I just want to say, hey, guy, while they're talking to St. Peter, let's hang out here a minute. I want to say, how many fingers am I holding up? I mean, we got an awesome God. But now, you know what David was doing here? It wasn't a worship leader creating an atmosphere for all of us to sing the next hill song. That's not what worship was then. It's not what it'll be in heaven. What David was doing here is he was giving a vocabulary to a generation to activate creation into the purpose that they were created for. Did you hear me? So who is the song leader? Who is the worship leaders around here? Right here. You are the worship leaders. These guys release frequency and tone for the purpose of causing agreement in the spirit realm so that one can put 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, and 100,000, and 1,000,000, and 1,000,000,000, and on around it goes. But what the worship leaders were all about is, first of all, we got to understand who the worship leaders are in our generation. You are the worship leaders. What you got to do is lead worship tonight and give these guys an opportunity to try to keep up with you. Instead of the stage mindset activating and creating a sense of job security because we appeal to emotions more than somebody else as a worship leader. We got to get past that mindset, because here's why. All of creation is groaning and travailing and crying out and interceding, waiting for us to get it so they can worship instead of just intercede. You want to be a worship leader? Get you a guitar and go lead a swamp in worship. Go lead a rock in worship. Go lead a crystal in worship. Go lead a cloud in worship. Go lead the sun in worship over this region. Go lead. Who were they leading in worship? You didn't see it? Let me show you who they were leading in worship. It says, praise Him, heavens, praise Him, heights, praise Him, angels, hosts, moon, stars, light, heaven of the heavens, waters above the heavens. Lord, let them praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, heavens, praise Him, dirt. It goes on. Praise Him, sea creatures, depths, fire, hail, snow, stormy wind, all fulfilling His word. Praise Him, mountains. Praise Him, fruitful trees and cedars, beasts, cattle, creeping things, flying fowl, kings of the earth, all the peoples. Praise Him, y'all. That's what was being said. So what were they doing? Activating all of this worship. You know what right now is going on? They found out in, what was it, 1999, this German research, scientists who have these sensors set up all over the planet, listening for tectonic movement, you know, the plates underneath, so they can determine and predict and be forewarned of any earthquakes. Okay? And they got these sensors out there all over the planet, and any time any little rattling or a quaking goes on, they immediately know about it because they have the science and the technology to do that. Well, they're sitting down there in 1999, just, you know, doing what they always do. And all of a sudden, they hear music coming over their system. And they say, what in the world is that? And they look, and they realize that the Antarctica, the icebergs, are singing. The icebergs start singing. And then they listen closer, and it's rise and fall and inversions and melodies and counter melodies. And pretty soon it starts sounding like a choir and orchestra coming out of the icebergs. Because all of creation is singing and worshiping and interceding and travailing. You know, and they hear the song of the whales. You know, whales can be as heavy as up to 30 elephants' weight. One whale, 30 elephants, the length of 3 Greyhound buses. And they have a song, and they start singing this song, and they start realizing that whales have a song and an articulate language that they communicate one to another, and that they communicate to their creator with. And they also find out that the dolphins have an articulate language, and they have one another named. They are actually conversational. It ain't just like Flipper doing his kick, 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 his deal. They actually have an articulate language, and the dolphin will say, Kevin. And Kevin will say, yeah, well, I better tell Kim. Okay. And they actually have one another named and have syllables with consonants and vowels that communicate. That's an awesome God that can do that. Dolphins are amazing creation of God. They found it. Did you know that they found out that the black holes are actually singing? The black holes are releasing a sound 257 octaves below middle C. There's a B flat. The frequency of that sound frequency is so slow, the vibration is so slow that it only reaches the earth every 10,000 years. And it reached the earth the night Johnny Cash went to heaven. I have no idea what that has to do with it, but all I can tell you is the man in black checks out, and here comes the sound out of the heavens, 257 octaves below middle C, and it's here right now, right now. All of creation is groaning. And of course, you know that our DNA is actually a musical decoding. You can play your DNA through that keyboard right there, and it'd be your song, and it's the only song like it on the planet. Yours is your song, mine is my song, and nobody else has that song. Because that thumbprint of God is actually a musical decoding. You know, now, we know that, but you know, one of the intriguing things about how they found that? The intriguing thing to me was, is when they were doing this research, they took a healthy mouse, took one cell of this healthy mouse, and played this cell of a healthy mouse, and it was a lively waltz, which is kind of cool. And so what happens if we take a cell of a cancer cell, of a cancerous mouse, and they played it? And it was Chopin's Nocturne 55, which is the funeral march, note for note, entire passages of the death march, of the funeral march. And Chopin died before there was such a thing as cancer. It was called consumption. But what does that tell us? He was literally playing what was in him. So the sound that was coming forth out of him was a musical depiction of the death that was within him. So what's coming out when you sing? Cancer cells. Another intriguing thing to me is the sonic bloom. Who was it? David last night or Charnel this morning was talking about. I don't remember which one of you, but I'll tell you this: the birds have a pre-dawn song that's not a mating song, and it's not a territorial song, and they've never really understood why the birds sing at precisely the same interval of time before the sun rises, or daybreak, they call it. And they found out that what the birds actually do in this pre-dawn song is the frequencies of the bird song actually opens the what's called stomata, or the little pores in the skin of all vegetation and plant life. On that leaf right there, if you had a microscope, of course you wouldn't on that one because it's plastic, but on a real one, there's a little pore there called a stomata, and the frequencies of the vibrational frequencies, the sound frequencies of the bird's song is what opens that up to receive nourishment right before dawn. And they found out with this whole process that you can nourish to the depth of the root, all the way to the depth of that plant with this nourishment stuff when the bird sings. And it can actually cause four harvests in plants a year. Watermelons you can't get in the back of a truck. Corn stalks 15 to 18 feet tall, rosiners this long. Corn this long. Cucumbers you can't tote. And they found out, and they did all of this study, and they call it sonic bloom instead of a sonic boom. So you're taking sonic or sound. Now get a hold of this. Think about how awesome our God is. Jesus came to redeem. He came and brought. I don't know if I want to share that right now or not. But I'll tell you this: all of creation is poised, waiting for us to get it. Guys, last April, in the middle of the shooting that was going on in Virginia, and by the way, I don't know if you noticed or not, every year in April, right at Hitler's birthday, this thing happens. Here, Virginia Tech, the shootings start at the same time a sound reaches the earth that scientists say has never been here before. They find out that the sun's atmosphere is actually singing. The corona belt around the sun is acting as a guitar string, and the solar flares that we've been hearing so much about actually hit that string, and the sound frequency is the song of the sun is reaching the earth right now. And it showed up the week that life was being challenged in the next generation. It's time for the high praises of God to be in our mouth, releasing the fullness of the authority of a two-edged sword. High praises of God is when we activate in the spirit realm everything that God intends for our generation as a result of worshiping God for the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, is to be released. So it's not just all about information, it's about being information. It's not just information, it's inflammation. Inflamed hearts. All voices of the people of God, finding their voice, their phoné, their phoné. Phoné is light. Phoné is voice. See, God is releasing through light and sound and through all the technologies. And look at the strides we are making, guys, in the realm of technology. And all. Do you think all of that is coming so that we can create, fashion more gods after our stupidity? All of this stuff that's coming is so that give us even greater ammunition in the spirit realm, because our God is doing these mighty things. And you notice that all demonic tribes that would stand against the people of God in any generation, all of them had one thing in common. They were all idolaters. They all worshiped other gods. And see, all the things that are happening in our generation that are pulling people away into to worship these false gods of creativity and creation and self this and self that and self promotion and idolatry and idols and all this stuff. They're enemies. How are we going to change that? We walk in the opposite spirit of it. We're not walking in the opposite spirit of it. We're not walking at all. We're watching it happen. But see, now God is causing the revelatory realm to be open to us, revealing to us. So now we get to walk out what He's revealed to us. We get to respond to that voice. That means now signs, wonders, miracles, now's the time. And so when an artist draws a picture up there, it's no longer just about movement and motion and color and texture and wow, I get a buzz off of this and a buzz off of that. What it is now, you walk up and you look at that painting and your finger grows back. There's some creativity. We're talking about God's creativity, not man's. So He's just looking for those yielded ones that'll start moving in that kind of expectation of God. I have no intentions of playing the song and somebody leaving here with a disease. Just don't go there. Yeah, you know what we need is more faith. No, you don't. We need more fun. You know what's fun? Watching God be God in a generation. So it's not, we don't need more faith, more facts. We need the fun part. And the fun part is watching our God be who He is. And boy, we've got to see that a lot this last year. I'll tell you some stories in my next session about the. Well, hey, any questions? You have a question? Yes, sir. You can actually go on a website and you can send it. I don't know how they do it, but you can go listen to other people that have done it. You can hear their song. And but also, if you can get a DNA sample, you can send it into some of those folks and they will send you a CD. David may have something to say about it. They'll send you a CD of your song. Yeah, DNA/music, and you'll have numerous websites will pop up. I'm saying this for the tape. And then you can find some of that.
44, you may know. Is that possible? I mean, it sounds like it to us.
Well, also, that could be some kind of computer glitch kind of thing too. I don't know about all that. But your question is can someone else play a song that play the music that is actually your song? Yes. And David said, Lord, you are the strength of my life. You are my song. And Mary, as soon as she said yes to the phoné, angel of the Lord spoke the word and she said, be it unto me according to thy word, and immediately a song was burst forth.
Holy Spirit.
It's exactly what it is. But here's the thing. Did you ever think about, okay, and now all of a sudden Mary starts singing. Did Jesus say, oh, wait a minute, you don't have a record deal. Wait a minute, don't do this. You're a little pitchy. You're a little bit, you know, start critically coming against her skill level. See, that's one of the reasons we've lost our song. We think it's only professional. We got a song in us that has been shut down and suppressed by a self-promotion generation that began in 1922. And so, now what happens in our lives when I hear certain music and I say, man, oh, I should have wrote that song. I should have wrote that song. Because I so identify with that. Watch this. All musicians, you wind up emulating musically whoever has had the greatest emotional impact on you. So now what God's doing is He's redeeming a lot of those principles and then bringing us back. Who has had the greatest impact on my spirit man? The Holy Spirit invading my life. And now what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start emulating and agreeing with and start leaning toward the sounds that are a part of my DNA. And I'll tell you guys, you blast off a hurdy-gurdy or in here in this room, you start releasing the sound of the bagpipe. There's something rises up in me that I find out is a part of my multi-generational DNA and calling and anointing. You might hear a trumpet blast and all of a sudden there's something ignited in you that is beyond, wow, that was awesome. No, there's something that is multi-generational that God wants to redeem in you. And yes, other people can play a piece of music that activates a part of your call and destiny. And it's all throughout Scripture. God was giving David all of these lyrics and concepts and principles and imagery and poetry and music that relate to every one of us in our generation. How many songs does David start off? I got the blues and a backache. You know, or just, oh, death. Oh, death. You hear, he started off dozens of them like that. Woe is me. My enemies are after me. They're wiping me out. They're trying to kill me. Oh, my. He's a blues singer. But and he's moaning and groaning and whining. Oh, my. You know, my enemies are out to get me, but I will yet praise the Lord my God. So he took real life situation stuff and turned it into the release of the sound. Lord, you are the strength of my life. You are my song. So yes, you can hear Rita Springer and just the texture of her voice for some of you. Say, oh man, that, there's something just resonates in you. See, that's what David called it to the chief musician upon Higgion. What is a Higgion? One of the words for Selah, the Selah of Higgion is this. So he would, the song would be going along, they're singing the song, and all of a sudden all of Israel would go, Let's all do it together. You know what that means? It means
That's where the scholars, these goofy scholars down through the years, come up with this stuff. The word Selah means think about it. The word Hygion is the straining. It's the strain and the groan of the spirit of somebody. It's a Hygion. So an entire psalm is given to the release of the death. That whole thing can turn into life evermore. But the song had to be sung. I didn't mean to over answer the question, but anyway, I'm one of them fellas, ask me what time it is, I tell you how to be able to watch. You know, I can't give you a show. There's one more. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I have, and I love it. I'll preach it for 30 minutes. But there is actually, make a joyful noise, O ye lands. There is actually a sound in the land. That's one of the reasons, you ever think, okay, I'll give you one quick example, okay. Song of the Lands. You can go into different geographical areas, and you'll find that based upon the terrain, the rise and fall of the terrain, and the physical climate of that part of the earth will also denote the dialect and the vocabulary and the accent of the people that live upon that land. The farther away from the shores you get into the cold tundras, you will find more of a monotone sound coming even in the daily communication. Where are y'all from? We're from Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a long way from the hills of Kentucky. Monotone. And I don't mean that critically, but if you just look, you know, it's a straight, nasally kind of sound, straight ahead sound. You get the higher, when you go into the mountains, you'll find that my goodness, y'all, my dog run out of the house, right off into the porch. The UPS man has come up the driveway and killed my dog. Right on, he didn't even have to go to the road to get killed. No, there he is, graveyard dead. Let him, a lot of rise and fall. And the more passionate you get, the more, you know, the more melodic it becomes. It has to do with the mountain. Now you get around the coastlands, it's more of a dreamy, it's more of a dreamy kind of dialect and sound. You get it in different, but anyway, you go to the Aborigine cultures that do not have necessarily a written, all their history is given through oral tradition. You'll find that all storyteller Aboriginal peoples pass their historical stuff to the next generation in the key of G. And all storyteller hidden away cultures and slave cultures, they will always be in the same key. Now, all that to say, that's a mighty short version of 8 chapters, okay? But fact of the matter is, there is a sound in the land. You go to northern Montana, there's a sound in that land. And it can be a part of the sound that's coming across. You go to the ocean lands, go to the coastal lands. The rise and fall of the ocean and the wind blowing across that ocean, if you want to hear what that sounds like when no man is there, then you set a microphone in the middle of the ocean and detect and record it, and you know what it sounds like? It sounds exactly like the sound that you will hear on an ultrasound with a baby's heart beating. And so there's also the sound of creation in the planetary sounds and Newton and all those guys. What was the guy right after that? Anyway, I got it all. But you know, they discovered all of these different sounds of the lands. Now, Nehemiah tapped into that, and that's the part I didn't want to get into and preach. But let me just read one little quick thing in my notes, and then I'm going to eat. God reveals His secrets and commands His blessing to those that are serious enough to make relational and territorial and community covenants over the land that you're called to. That's why when Nehemiah walked out and he saw what was going on, first thing he did is he wept. If you don't weep over the land, stay off of it. or quit presuming some authority in a land that you don't weep over, is my point. And then what did he do? He fasted over what he was seeing in that land. Next thing he did, he prayed, and then he repented. He took responsibility for something he didn't even do on that land. And then what's the first next thing? Because of those things right there, on that land, he received the blessing and covering governmentally as well as ecclesiastically. And it gave him an authority in the Spirit that was going to bring divine success beyond the imagination. In 52 days, was it? But then what did you find him doing? After he wept, he fasted, prayed, and repented, then he researched, then he recruited, and he went for it for the release. Now, success today is never measured by rootedness and commitment to a land. Success today is measured by motion. If you got a lot going on in big meetings and flashy and ministry and television and radio and all the stuff going on, we call that success in our culture. Motion is mistaken for momentum. And most of us in the body of Christ today have a mentality of renters, never homeowners. And see, migrants root themselves in memories and ideas, not places and lands. And there will come a time that you may go to the nations, but there will also always be that call of a sound of a nation that is crying out to your heart and waiting for you to come to that homeland. That's one of the reasons for all the genealogical studies and all that that so many people do. But lack of territorial commitment means lack of the music or the song of that land being able to be released, because we do have authority. We have the authority, guys. If we have the authority to speak to water, we have the authority to speak to the dirt. In eastern Kentucky, not long ago, y'all heard the story went around the country. We stood at a stream and released a blessing over the stream, and all of a sudden healing started breaking up and down that river. Within 1 hour, people didn't even know about it. We took an old mountain church of people up on Black Mountain in the coal mine country up there. And the Lord gave us this word to release something on the river, and we did. And within an hour and a half downstream, nobody knowing about it, an old woman standing by the river after church at this old Church of God, she's standing there, and all of a sudden all the eczema and psoriasis start falling off the all over the ground. It's been on her all of her life. And this old man standing there sees this, and he starts panicking, and he starts getting blurry-eyed, and he thinks he's having a heart attack, and he pulls his glasses off. Now he can see. He puts them on, and now he can't see. He takes them off, now he can see. He said, "My God, I'm healed too." And it was this whole healing thing broke out on that river. And we said, "Lord, send the power, the authority of your word to heal everywhere this river goes." And it's coming right down out of Black Mountain. It comes out of that up that holler there. It comes down that hill, and when it goes into the Cumberland River. Cumberland River. This is about 12 miles from about 6 miles from Kingdom Come, Kentucky, which is where also 12 miles to hell for certain is the name of the place. And right out of that place came this move of God, and now people are getting healed. Mike McClung, he was talking about last night. Mike McClung's worship leader, miles and miles away, is standing at the keyboard, and all of a sudden she cannot see her sheet music, and she checks her glasses, and now she can. And this little gal named Amy, who's like blind in one eye, couldn't see out of the other, stood there and got healed. And then on down the river it happened. And on down the river, the next week, you know, two old boys, you know, Clovis and Cletus, are standing out there in the river fishing. And my God, son, look here, all my eczema done fell off in this river. And this stuff started happening for weeks and weeks and weeks. And nobody knew what had gone on except a little mountain church up there that didn't believe in prophecy. And I went in there on that Sunday morning, and it's the highest elevated church in Kentucky on the side of Black Mountain. And I'm standing there, and don't think that I'm getting away from your question about the land. This is what we're talking about. I'm standing there on the land, my homeland, Kentucky, which I hadn't been in years. And there's an old man, and this bunch was stiff up, because I'll tell you, Kentucky folks, they're extremely friendly and real suspicious. And so when you come in from, if you're from somewhere else, you know, they'll watch you out of one eye, you know. And so I'm standing there, and it's a tough deal, you know. And this old man starts walking down the aisle, and when he starts, I can tell he's having a hard time getting along. And he's coming, and I just start speaking healing to him. And as he was walking down through there, he had rheumatoid arthritis. And the whole church watched his old knobby knuckles and all this stuff just dissolve. And by the time he got to the second row, he sat down and he raised both hands and began to praise God with tears flowing off his face. He hadn't been able to raise his arms in 20 years yet. He said, "Feel this grip." He'd shake my hand. He said, "Feel that grip. I hadn't been able to pick up a shirt in 10 years. And when that happened, a gal named Kathy Hughes on the back row back there got healed of arthritis in her knees. And then here went, and then the whole family got healed of diabetes. Nobody laying hands on them, rubbing 10W40 on them, nothing else. It was just the word started healing. And see, the day before, we were driving up beside that river where it had been raining, and it was all full of all this garbage and pollution. And when I saw the pollution on the river, I said, "Honey, look here." It sickened me for a minute, because I just saw this rainstorm was washing up stuff out from under old trailer houses and bleach bottles and Coca-Cola signs and mess. And it turned tree hugger there for a minute. And I said, "Honey, look at this filth on the river." And then I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Don't worry. This is a picture. I'm washing the impurities out of the homes and the violated families and the abused and poverty and the isolation and the ignorance and all that stuff that I was raised in. Now it's being cleansed. There's a rain coming that's going to cleanse the place." And then I said, "Honey, I think the Holy Spirit just told me, don't worry about the river. He's going to put a healing on the river." Then we go to Black Mountain, get in there at 1 o'clock in the morning, sleep in the coach that night. The next morning, I got Sadie out there playing in the grass. She's running and playing. That's my dog, not my wife. And she's running and playing, and the pastor and this young man come walking across this footbridge there at this little church to meet me. And they said, and the pastor says, this is Chris. I want you to meet this young man. He feels like the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He wants to submit something to you." And he looked at me and my sweetie, and he said, "Well," and he's kind of shy about it. And he said, "Well, I ain't real accustomed to this kind of stuff, but I felt like the Holy Spirit told me if we would pour oil and wine in the river, that he'd put a healing on the river." And I said, "Well, we don't have to pray about that one." And so I went in and started this service, and I said, "Look here, guys." And then this thing happened. I said, "Now, we're getting ready to do a prophetic act." "A what?" Nobody knew what a prophetic act was. You know what a prophetic act is? A prophetic act is simplicity, simple obedience to a word of God, though it don't make sense in the natural mind. A prophetic act is, "Gideon, get you 300 pitchers and break them, and I'll whoop the Midianites." How in the world does that work? It don't make sense in the mind, but out of obedience, you do it. So we're going to do a prophetic act, and I told them what to do. And when I was sharing that word, my sweetie sitting on the front row, and she said, "Not just the wine and the oil, but..." handed me a bottle of water, of Nestle's Pure Life water. This is Walmart water. I know it well. And this Pure Life water said, "We're supposed to pour the water in there too." And so we took me and this young man and the pastor said, "Come on, everybody." We walked outside the church and stood on this little footbridge and prayed a simple prayer. Didn't sing song, looking for a city, nothing Pentecostal, none of it. We poured the three of them, blended them together into the river and said, "Lord, wherever this river goes, wherever this water goes, let there be healing released in your people in these mountains." And it's been happening ever since. And we even got reports as far away as where the water. See, it goes Cumberland River into the Ohio River, down through Nashville, up to Kentucky into the Ohio River, Ohio into the Mississippi, Mississippi, Tennessee. We see the tributaries all over the South. And now watch this. The second worst water system in America, because the runoff of the coal mines and everything up there, is now the second second from the top of the water quality. And the water conservation guy wanted to have lunch with me. He wanted to ask me some questions. I said, "What am I going to say? All I'm going to say is, order you a cheeseburger, bud." I mean, I don't. What have I got to say to him? You know, but. You know, you don't turn it into exploitation. You turn it into, God's an awesome God. And so anyway, we have authority over the places that God has put as a part of our destiny. And a part of that is learning how to be a people that will release the sound that God. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow night a lot more, and what that sound is individually as well as corporately, and how to take authority over those lands. All right, y'all ready to eat? Yeah, here comes David.
I'll keep it brief.
1,000 words or less. Okay, that's good. All right.
Music is a power. Music carries authority. I'm very careful with the music I put on the lasers. I know how far they go. Hear me carefully. That laser, the tower, the red bass, has never had music on it from a recording other than from Ray Hughes. I'm careful what I play on the laser. It has a power that came from the artist. It has a purpose and an intent that's from that commercial recording. The company had an effect on it. The artwork on the jacket had an effect on it. Whoever touched it, whoever sold it, had an effect on it. I recommend to you that you're careful what you play in your home. You're careful what you play in your car. And just because it came from a Christian genre or some artist that has a testimony and a life that may be pure, it doesn't carry the same authority as the music that was created by the man that you just listened to. His music is special. Take it home. Play it in your home. When you leave your home, don't leave your TV set on. Put Ray's music on and crank it up. That music will change your home. That music will give you healing in the night. What he said, he believes, he knows, and it's in his music. Ray, I should get a commission for that.
This is still being taped? Okay, good. Because there's something else he doesn't know. But Denham Springs was a place where people used to come from miles and states and worlds away to be healed by the water. They would get in the water and be healed. Now, I'm not seeing that the way I want to see it. But and you know, we don't have any oil and wine and all that get out. But I was thinking, you know, William Branham came here 5 times in the 60s. There was people who came with the healing anointing to this city. There's something in the land of this area that is beneficial to people far, far away, that people would come from far, far away, and we're trying to break into that again. So I'm just going to ask for David and Ray just to prophesy to this place, this region, and to the river, and to break that open again, where this again would be a place of open heaven and healing and all the things that God wants as for the destiny of this land and this earth, if you don't mind doing that.
You know, God, if God has performed something in past generations here, it's a promise to a future generation. That's all there is to it. The Word of God is built on that very premise. It's an entire book of the performances of God in former generations that are a promise to this one. That's what the Word of God is. It's far more simple than we'll let it be. But what I want you to know is this. I believe with all my heart that the things like happened on that river up there and gems coming, Coeur d'Alene falling out of the sky and all these things that are signs and wonder signs that make you wonder. We've heard all the jokes, you know. But the thing is all those are our rehearsals. And they're just God letting us know. Now you let some clown, some Sodom insane or Osama bin running or whoever over there release some kind of poisonous something against this part of the nation, some kind of bomb or even a storm or even some kind of thing that cannot be dealt with on a human level. The reason all these things are beginning to become a part of our belief system is God's looking for a people to stand up and say, wait a minute, you cannot have this river. This river belongs to God. You cannot look at, you know, can you imagine the kind of hope it puts in a people that for generation after generation, coal miners and hurt and abuse and all this abandonment and violation and depression and incest and all the mess that come up in my family bloodline. Now you look back in that holler and you see what God's doing. He's turning a river into a healing. God did that. Ain't no way in the world somebody can do that, right? So now God's doing that on a corporate level with us. So I'm telling you right now, we And see, Charnel has some authority. She has committed. There's a covenant commitment to this part of the land. She's feeling something in her heart. She's asking for agreement. Now, we're going to just stand here. We're going to agree, and we're going to watch God begin to unveil testimonies that have, that unlike anything, have been heard in this region for generations or however long it's been missing.
One thing before we do this, Swift Fire Ministries. Swift was the bird that we saw, the golden eagle. When Bob took me up, the apostolic golden eagle who represents the apostolic. And so even the word Swift Fire Ministries International was a decree. We always answer the phone, Swift Fire Ministries International, because the Lord gave us a vision that there'd be a fire in Denham Springs. It came from somewhere else, but there'd be a fire in Denham Springs, and it went out to seven cities in Louisiana, and then it went out to the nations. It went to Mississippi first, and then it started breaking out everywhere. Swift Fire Ministries, meaning revival fire. And we want it to start in Denham Springs. And Nehemiah 2:20, the Lord gave me this verse just recently. When Nehemiah was trying to build the wall, there was a time when the people came against him and said, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? You know, but when you read that scripture, his response to the enemy was, oh, no, 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 this is not your lot. See, God gives us a place, a secure place, an area, a region, a place of boundary, a land that we have authority of. And when we have the authority to say, oh, no, this is not your lot. This lot is secure by the name of Jesus Christ. And so as all of us come together, and I wanted this to be recorded because this is not just for us in our land, but it's for the people on TV in Canada and all these people who get these tapes, to say that over their land, that their lot is secure. This is their land, wherever you are on the tape. That, and you can do this in your own land too. So let's just do this together.
Do you have something? Nothing. Well, Father, we thank you for your grace, the divine infusion of your enablement upon us as a people to simply come into agreement with your word and what you have declared over this region. And I thank you, Lord, that this day that you are radically shifting things in the heavenly realm that will be manifest in the natural, and that we will see the beauty of your presence released in the churches that lift up the name of Jesus in this region, and that this be a whole region known as a place of the swift fire to burn up the things that are that oppose your purposes for the kingdom. And Lord, let your swift fire come as a swift sword. And Lord, I thank you right now for even the authority over storms, over weather patterns, over weather conditions, over the very things that bring fear as well as danger and death to the region, seasonally. I thank you, Lord, that you're raising up a people that'll know how to take authority over the germs, take authority over the sickness and disease, take authority over death. Take authority. It's just, Lord, we're just asking for a new level of your grace, a new level of your authority to rest now upon the shoulders of these. Lord, I've never done anything like this in my life, but I want to just say this. I just want to say, Lord, we ask you to put the weightiness of your glory as a fresh mantle upon every person that is in this place, and let them walk out of here with a kabod of that, the glory of your presence upon their lives, with a weightiness. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, for an increase of faith, yes, but also an increase of fun. Lord, let it be fun to be the winners that we were created to be in this season. And Lord, raise up joyologists in this region, and let the goodness of the Lord bring men to repent in the region. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching. If you'd like to order additional copies, or if you'd like to view the many other prophetic resources available at the Elijah List, such as the quarterly magazine Elijah Rain, music CDs or MP3 downloads, or to view our great selection of books and gifts, simply log on to our website, ElijahList.com. Or call toll-free 866-ELIJAH-LIST. That's 866-354-5245. Outside the U.S., call 541-926-3250. And join us again for another inspiring teaching from the Elijah List.